We're just starting at the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Bet. We have a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman with regards to vigilantism, whether one is allowed to take the law into their own hands. Didman, Rav Yehuda amar lo avid inish dine zanafshe, right? That a person is not allowed to take the din into his own hands. A person is not allowed to take the law into his own hands. Nachman avid inish dine zanafshe. Rav Nachman says a person can take the law into his own hands. Now, heichad the ikup seida, when there is a loss, meaning that, what does it mean that the makom to ikup seida? Rashi brings two interpretations what that means. That means that if he takes the time to go to Beis Din, he's going to end up in a position where he's going to have a greater loss, or he's going to be unable to recoup his loss. So, for instance, in this case, where he was dealing with the watering hole, if he leaves there, he's going to have no idea how much water the other guy took. He's not going to know how much he took, what he did, the damage he did. So for him to leave already, right, will cause him an additional loss that he won't be able to recoup. The other possibility is that the loss will be that he will empty out the watering hole. And then even if he can compensate him, he can't get the water back, which is what he needs right now. And that will cause him, again, an irreversible loss. So in those instances, both of them agree that one can take the law into their own hands. The machlokas simply rests on the fact where you are indifferent between taking the law into your own hands and going to Beis Din. Something that's here causes a little more trouble, but on the other hand, there will be no monetary loss caused by you going to Beis Din. Since he's not going to lose anything by doing this, go through the system. Right? The integrity of the system is worth so much. We don't want people taking the law into their own hands. We know, you saw earlier in the Masechta what Tosfos said about that. Right? Tosfos narrowed down that case where a person can be tofes, right? A mazik tam. Right, that he can go be tofes the goof of the mazik. Tosfos narrowed that down to a case only when it was the mazik, the animal that was mazik, and a tizmana nezek. Because Tosfos doesn't want to open up this Pandora's box of letting people do whatever they want. The same thing here. If we can get the Beis Din, we can do it through the Mitzgeret, right, the framework of the court system, we're going to force you to go that way. As long as you get it right, we're not going to force you to go to Beis Din, right? That's the big if. Right? If a person ends up with the right, doing the right thing, the same thing that Beis Din would do, go ahead and do it. But that's obviously the problem with taking the laws in one's hands, is that we usually don't get that result. Right? Meaning that a person is biased and a person, right, makes mistakes in the emotional state of being upset, and therefore we generally want you to go to Beis Din. But if a person can execute the law appropriately, and that's what Rav Nachman suggests, that he could do it, and we don't force him to go through the trouble of going to Beis Din. So, Meitiv Rav Kana, Bagbag Omer, Al Tikanes L'Chatzer Chaverecha L'Tolet Shelcha, Shoot. You shouldn't go into your friends. You have your own stuff. It's your thing that's in your friend's courtyard. You should not go in there without permission. Shema Tir'e Alav Kigana, because maybe you look like a, right? You look like a thief. You're going in to take his stuff. Oh, Tilayek, thank you. Right, Shema Tilayek, Alav Kiganav, maybe you will be, right? Passive form, that you'll be seen as a ganav. Ela shugur chinav, right? What you do is you punch his teeth out. Bomarlo, shalianito, I'm taking my stuff. Right? It's a much better solution. Rather than sneaking into his chater, you punch his teeth out and you take what's yours. So, Merlay, say, first of all, so what here it seems like what? That a person can take the din into his own hands, right? That a person has approved to the position of Rahman. So, when it says, what? Imcha ben Bagbag. What are you, you're quoting me, Ben Bagbag, about this situation? Yechidoi, he's a das yochid, right? He's a single opinion. Upliga Rabbanan Alein, Rabbanan argument with him. So what are you bringing me a proof from Ben Bagbag? That's no proof of a position with regards to taking the din into one's own hands. So then the Rabbi said, now we're going to explain what does it mean to punch out his teeth. Rabbi Anai Amar, Maishibur Shinab, what does it mean to punch out his teeth? He says, Bedin. It means punch out his teeth means take him to the court. It's an alternative solution to saying that it's not like Rav Nachman. It's to say that when the rice over here says, right, take him, the Sefta says, take him and break out his teeth. It means drag him to Beis Din. That's what's called breaking out his teeth. Where it says it's not a great solution. Eochi, right? How did the Sefta conclude? It says that you punch out his teeth, be'emorlo, and you say to him, Shali ani notel, I'm taking mine. Now, if punching out his teeth means goes to Beis Din, then it should, the Beis Din should say, omrimlo. They tell him, and shalom, who no tell, right? Then he's taking his, not I am, right? In the first person, it's rather, right? Talking about the other person, shalom, who no tell. So now that's what the Gemara says, Iochi ve'emorlo, omrimlo, right? It should be in the plural, and it'll be ba'ilei, and shalian he'll tell, it shouldn't be that I am taking it, but rather shalom, who no tell. He's taking his thing, right? Mi ba'ilei, the kashrut. That answer doesn't hold up as well.
Right?
Right. Well, that's what the Gemara ends up saying, that he was trying to solve the problem for Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, yeah, that doesn't a great solution because it doesn't even fit into the language of the Tosef. So we have to go to the other solution, that it's Ben Bagbag. Eino Kanabi, you could take the din in your own hand, but he's a Das Yochid over here. Alright, Tashma. Now the Gemara is going to introduce a series of questions here. They relate to our presumption or assumption that when there is Seidel, when there is a loss, one can take the din into his own hands. So here, Tashma. Shor Shalal Gabei Chaveiro Lahorgo. There's a shore that jumps on his friend to kill him. Right? So there's an endangerment to the lower shore, the one who's underneath, is in danger of losing his life. Uba Balatachton, so the owner of the lower shore comes, Bishamat Chilo. He rips out his shore from underneath this other shore. He pulls him out from underneath. Benafel Elyonu mates. And the upper shore falls and dies. Fatur. Right? Then he is Fatur. So over here it's clear that he's taking the din into his own hands. Right? He's taking the din into those hands, pulling out the shore, and it's collapsing. So my love, what's the case here? The upper shore who's attacking, what's the case here? Bimuaz. Sounds like it's a case where he is a muaz. If he's a muaz, if he goes to court with a muaz, what is his collection? If the shore kills another shore, you get nezek shalem. He'll be repaid in full. So he should be indifferent between pulling his shore out and going to court and getting paid out. He should be indifferent to him. Delek abseda. Here's a case where there is no loss. And nevertheless, what do we see? We see him taking the din into his own hands. Where I says, well, why do you have to explain that? I explain it as to Tom. It's a case of Tom. In a Tom case, what is he going to collect? If the Tom kills him, he's only going to collect Chatzi Nezek. So for him, there is a Pseido over here. The Ika Pseido. Right? Because if there is a loss, then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees when there's a loss, you're allowed to take the din into your own hand. So he's pulling out his shore from underneath him because he is only going to get half damages if he doesn't take care of this stuff himself. So I say, he all came and said, what do you do with the second half? Right, of this, right, so. So what happens if he saves his shore by pushing the upper shore off? Instead of pulling out his shore, he knocks over the shore that's on top. Umeis. And by him pushing over the shore on top, he dies. Chayav. He's got to compensate for that, this shore. Where it says, if it's Tam, am I Chayav? If it's the case of Tam, why is he Chayav? I mean, if we're saying that the case here is Tam, what's going to happen? He's going to lose money. If he lets the situation persist, he's only going to get Chatzi Nezek. So he's got to do something. So what does he do? He either pulls his shore out or he knocks the shore down on top. So why in the case where he knocks the shore off from on top, is he going to be Chayav? We said you're allowed to take the din into your own hands in those instances. Mar says, no, because there were two alternatives. Shayalo, l'shamto, v'lo shamto. I mean, there was another alternative to save his shore. There are two alternatives. One is to knock the upper shore off. The other one is to pull your shore out. So Mar says that the better solution is to pull your shore out. If you pull your shore out, in Al-Khanami, you're going to be potter even when you take the din into your own head. But if you dokeh the upper shore, which is almost unnecessary, right, force that you're using over here, then we're going to say that you're culpable if you hurt the upper shore because you did something beyond what was necessary to take the din into your own head. You could have pulled your shore out. Instead, you went and bumped off the upper shore. It's more likely that you're going to cause damage over there, and then we're going to hold you accountable for that damage.
Well, why is this a case of taking the din into your own hand? It would seem that if that were the case, that the shore on top kills the shore on the bottom, and then you go and you kill the shore on top. It seems like the case hasn't even evolved yet.
I know, but a case means that what's the outcome? When we're looking at a case, we're looking at what are the two possible outcomes here. One possible outcome is that he kills the shore and you go to basin and get your money back. The other possible outcome is I pull the shore out, right, and I save my shore. So that's what it's called, taking the din into your own hands. Din in your own hands doesn't mean that I already have a conclusion now. I'm trying to solve the, like, my shore's killed, I'm going to grab your stuff. No, taking the din on your hands is to protect yourself from having such a loss. The same case by the watering hole. It wasn't. He's taking the din in his own hands because there's no conclusion. He's about to take the water out of the hole.
He
tried to take water. The guy whacked him with the hole. Right? So he stopped him from doing it. I mean, that when we're talking about taking the law into your own hands here, it means to protect your property. Not like, I understand what you're saying, that din means, okay, we have a conclusion now, you're trying to adjudicate here. Yeah. That's not the case. We're not adjudicating, he's trying to prevent the necessity for adjudication. That's what we mean when we're taking the din into your own hands. Alright, now, Tashma, other case. So he decides that he needs some storage space. So he takes his friend's courtyard, puts it, fills it up with wine, barrels of wine and barrels of, or pitchers of wine, pitchers of oil. Alright, you know, in Okanami, I gotta get in and out of my place. You just filled it up with stuff that doesn't belong to me. He can kick his way in and kick his way out, or the other way around. Kick his way out and kick his way in. So, Amar Rav Nachman by Yosef, Mishaber Yosei the Beis Din, Mishaber V'Nichnas, L'Haviz Chuyotav. Right, so what we thought before We thought before here that what? You're taking the din into your own hand. Why? So here, why does he's walking out, he wants to kick his way out and kick his way in. So here you're taking the din into your own hand. Even though in Akhanami there's no is there really a loss here? Is there any pseudo over here? Right? Because what, you know, he can go to court and get the stuff removed. Right? So the Gemara says, no, this is a case where he's actually, what does he mean to kick his way out and kick his way in? That's to enable him to go to Beis Din to get his adjudication here, to get this guy to remove his stuff here. Since what did he do? He ended up blocking the whole way in, one way out. His only way to get in and out is to kick his way in, kick his way out. So therefore, it's not a case where there is a pseudo. So this points out over here, even though before we said, right, what's the opportunity? When you have two Shvarim fighting, right? We said before, what do you have to do? There are two options. You can either knock the upper one off or slide out the one underneath. We said that if you knock the upper one off, we're going to hold you accountable. If you slide the one out underneath, then you're okay. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Why do we entitle him to kick his way out and break all the barrels? Tell him to stack them up. Pick one up, put on the next one, make a pass through here. Why do we, I mean, there are alternatives here. Why do we let him kick it through? That's what Tosa says over here. Tosa says, Abgav del Elamrina Shelo the Shumto. I mean that there's no extra exertion on your part to knock the upper shore or pull your shore out. Those are two equal options. When they're equal options, we tell you use the one that is less likely to cause damage. Over here, this is not an equal option. The option between you kicking the stuff out of your way versus having to lift every single one and move them over, that's not an equal option. So when it's not an equal option, we entitle you to kick your way out and break the barrels to get out. So that's a difference in these two cases. Right now, The next case over here, alright, is Tashma. Minayin l'nirza, shekalu lo yamav. This is a case, someone, a Eved Ivri, that stayed on, right, until the Yovel, right, he got his ear pierced, he stays on to the Yovel. Now, he is not willing to leave. He decides that after the 50 years the Yovel comes, he's not so excited to get out of here. So, Rabo Misahar bo latzeis, right, that his owner is pushing him to get out of here. He's throwing him out, basically. Right, v'chaval v'sabo chabura, and then he whacks him. When he's trying to get him to leave, he hits him, and he causes some damage to the Eved. Shehu patur. How do we know that the Adon, the master, is patur in such an instance where he whacks him and pushes him to leave? Right, it says tamalomar lo tichu kofer lashuv. Says you may not take kofer to go back. Now the Gemara here is going to dash not lashuv, which is the literal translation over here, but lashuv means lo tichu kofer lashev. What does Lashev mean? So Rashi brings two interpretations down here. What it means, Lashev. One is, Lashev, Misha Rote Lashuv, Lokil Kulo. Once he wants to go back to his mistake. What does that mean, back to his mistake? He wants to remain in Eved Ivri. Here he already made a mistake to stay in the Liovel. Now he's trying to stay longer beyond that. That means someone who wants to, Lotika Kova Lashev, the one who is, what? Doing something wrong. Then we would kick him out. The other Lashon that he brings is Lashev, the Mi Shadino Lashev. What's the din of an Eved Ivri when he reached the Ovel? It's to go back to his place, the Shav L'Mishpachto, right? El, right? He goes back to his old standing where he was before. So that person is L'Shev, you can't take Kofar for him. We don't pay. So in both these instances, you are Patur for paying for the damages or the injury that you caused, right? Because of the fact that you pushed him out in a rightful manner. I mean that he needs to go back to his family. He's supposed to leave at the Yovel. So since you did it rightfully, we don't make you liable. Alright, what's this? Is this a case of Pseido? There's no loss to the Adon here. And yet we allow him to take the law into his own hands and push this Eved out. And even when he causes damage, he's patur. Why is this? Why is this? Akamayaskina and Ba'av the Ganvo. It's a case where it's an Eved who's a thief. He's a thief, so the owner doesn't want to keep him around anymore. If he keeps him around, there is a loss to him because if he keeps him around, he's going to steal from him. So my answer to the question. Ada Eden Loganov. Right, I mean, the guy's been around for 50 years, or whatever, how long he's been around, right? Until the Yovel, he hasn't been stealing. Asha Ganov. Right, all of a sudden now he's going to start stealing. Why is the Pseudo all of a sudden something new for him? Should have thrown him out 10 years ago if he's been stealing, right? Now all of a sudden, Yovel comes, the guy decides he's going to become a thief. Gemara says yes. Why? Ada Eden Avaim Dante de Rabbe Ale. Until this point in time, he was subjugated to his Adon. He was a servant to his master, so therefore he had some sort of fear in him. And now he's a free man, so he becomes a thief because he doesn't care, he doesn't have to worry about his master anymore, so his master wants him out of here. So now the Gemara changed this from a case of no pseida to a case of pseida of loss here, because there's a loss by keeping the Ganav around. Nachman Yitzchak says no, it's be'evich masul rabu shifcha kenanit. Right, so now the case here where there is actually not a monetary loss, but there is a halachic issue. What's the halachic issue? An Eved Ivri, his master is entitled to give him a shifcha kenanit to marry. When he goes free, afterwards, the Shifu Kanani does not go with him, right? Right? So the master keeps the woman and the children, and the Eved Ivri goes free. So over here, what happens? He has the Shifu Kanani. Until this point in time, he was mutar to be with the Shifu Kanani. As soon as the Yovel comes and he has to leave, now it's a sur for him to be there, and he's not leaving. So the Adon is pushing him, Vashta Yitzura. So over here, the Adon is pushing him to be Mekayim, what otherwise he's supposed to do over here, which is that he needs to leave. So he's preventing him from doing any tour. And that's why he's Patur over here. So those are two possibilities. So why this, even though he's taking, quote unquote, the law into his own hands, either one possibility is because of Pseido, it's a loss because the Evid is a Ganav, or the other possibility is that the Evid is being over in Yitzur, which is the same as Shiv Khananit, and so we entitle and we empower the Adon to throw him out, so that the Yitzur does not persist. Right, Tashma, what's this doing in our Gemara? Here we go. Aminiach, Itakat, Birshut Arabim. Right, our Mishnah, person puts down a kad, puts down a picture in the Rishut Arabim. Ubacher, Vinitkalpa. Another person comes and trips over it. Vishavra. And then he breaks it. Patur. Right? And he is patur in that instance. Why? Taimo the nitkalba. Why is he patur over here? Because he tripped on it. Man, he did not do it. God bless you. He did not do it intentionally. Since he didn't do it intentionally, that is why he's patur. Hashavra chayav. If he broke it intentionally, he would be chayav. Despite the fact that what did we say before? That a person's not entitled to stick his stuff in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. He's putting his stuff in the middle of the Rishut HaRabim. It's causing him problems. He's tripping over it. There are people that are being damaged by it. So why can't he, right, why can't he break it or make it, or get rid of it? So Gemara over at the Mishnah sounds like he can only do it if it's by accident he breaks it. Then he's not culpable. But if he did it on purpose, he would be culpable. So why is he, that sounds like you cannot take the law into your own hands. So what do we say over here? Amar did Mishmei the Rova. Right, who adin nafilu shavro. Now, even in a case where he breaks it, it would be patur. This is like we answered for Rav before. That Rav said it was a place where they filled out the whole Rishut HaRabim, and you're allowed to not only to trip over, but you can kick it through. V'haydik kani nitka. So why does our Mishnah use the term tripping? That's because the second half of the Mishnah. What's the problem? I did the kabbai limit nesefva, and the second half of the Mishnah says imhuzak balachavit chayav. Then he's go. If he trips over and he gets damaged by falling over this barrel, then the person who left that pitcher out there is responsible for the damage that he caused. But that's Dafka Benitka. That's only if you tripped over it, if you get responsible for the damage he caused. About Shavar, look. But if you kick it and hurt yourself, no. Do Azik Navshe. I mean, if you want to get rid of these barrels by kicking it, you hurt yourself. Right? You could have moved the barrels out of the way another way. The fact that you kicked it and hurt yourself, that's your own problem. We're not going to make the other guy culpable for that. So because in the safe it has to say Nitko, the only time he's responsible for the damage is when you trip over it, not when you intentionally kick it. Then Tani Reisha Nitko. It also put in the Reisha Nitko. So we can't prove anything from the Reisha. Whether our Mishnah believes that only you can take the law, quote unquote again, the law into your own hands, only what? If there's a Pseida, or even when there's no Pseida, you'll have to kick out this barrel, get rid of this barrel from our Mishnah, and we have no proof. Okay, Tashma. Next one, we have a Pasuk in the Torah. It says, V'katza et kapa. We mentioned this case also, right, I think yesterday's daf, we mentioned it as well. This is a woman who sees her husband and another man fighting, right, in order to stop the fight, right, she punches or grabs onto the private parts of the other individual to stop the fight from going on. Over there, the Torah says, V'katza et kapa, you have to cut her hand off. So that doesn't mean literally cut her hand off, it means mamon, that he has to compensate him for the boshes, for the embarrassment that she caused. My love, what's the case there in the Torah? V'she'ena yachola tzila d'var acher. She has no other way of saving her husband, and nevertheless, she's still held liable for doing this. So what do you see here? A person takes the law into their own hands, and they're still considered they have to pay for the boshet. What's the problem? Right now, the real case is a case where she had alternatives to save her husband. She chose an alternative that caused an embarrassment. In that case, we're going to make her pay for the boshet. Not for the nezik necessarily, but for the boshet. The fact that she protected her husband, that she was entitled to do. But how she protects her husband, that was a choice that she made, and that choice made it. She chose the most, denigrating or embarrassing way to save her husband. There, she's going to have to pay up for the boshet. Aval, what would be the din? Had it been a case that she couldn't save in another way, Tura, and Ochanami should be Patur, because that was her only alternative. Then we don't demand of it. So I said, if that's the case, that what we're talking about cases where there is alternatives here. Adatani Seifa, Bishulcha Yada. Right, so now we're going to see in the case. What is the Bishulcha Yada? It says, Bukatso Kapa. What was the case here? It says b'shulcha yadav, b'yachzik b'mushav. Right, so there, what does it mean, b'shulcha yadav? Prat, b'shiach b'din. Right? That, what is excluded from here? A shliach basin doesn't pay for boshet. The shliach basin goes out and has to bring someone to court. The sheriff has to bring somebody into court. If he embarrasses the person by having to drag him into court, he's not chayim for boshet in this case. This a demand of boshet is only for someone who intentionally does nezek, but is not empowered by the basin to act over here. So Mara says, well, what is the ratio of the mission says, a case where the woman is chayevet. The sefer gives you a case where the woman is, or not where, the basin is patur. So case of chayev and patur. What was the case of chayev? We're saying now that where she had alternatives, right, of what to do. And the sefer case is the case of shleach basin. If the case is that she has alternatives, I can create a case where the woman herself is chayevet and surah. How is that? Make the ratio a case where, right, make the ratio a case where she has alternatives. That's why she's chayevet, because she chose to embarrass him by grabbing, right, his private parts. Yes, I could create a case where she is Ptura. What is that? Where she had no alternatives. So then the Brishta, why don't you give the two cases of Chayevet and Ptura as being cases within the woman herself? Smart says now, lip slogan, and lit nebididot. But mem, it's very memorim, shicholat, yel yedaveya, devar acher. When's the case that she is what? Chayevet? When she had no, she had other alternatives. Aval, ina yocholat, yel yedaveya, acher. She doesn't have other alternatives. Acher Ptura, then she'll be Ptura. The Gemara says, "Achanami." That's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Achanami kamar. But med, very much Mishnah cholal hatel yedaya dar acher. That's when she has an other alternative. Then she's chayevet. Aval ena yacholal hatel yedaya dar acher. Not the yadak shliach beisin. Then she becomes just like a shliach beisin. Uptura. That's exactly what this right. Exactly what this right says. Interesting. All right, Tashma. Another case here. Hooray! Shaita derech abim uveret betoch sadeu. The public has an easement through his field. Right down the middle of his field, the public has an easement, they're walking through his field. This guy does not like this. Now he has his field split in half, and the public's walking. So what does he want to do? He wants to eliminate this easement through the middle, and he wants to give them an alternative either on either side of his field. Right, again, he'll give them an equivalent, equal side on the other side, but when he does that, alright, he benefits himself greatly, because then he doesn't have his property cut in half. So what does he want to do here? So, Harei, Shaita Derech Rabim, Uveret Betoch Sadeu, Natla, but Natan Lehem Minatzad, and he gives them a property on the side. Mashnata Natan, the new property he gives them, now belongs to the Rabim. Vishalolo Yo, and he doesn't get back the piece in the mud. I mean, he loses on both sides. You know what? He loses the middle, and he loses the side. So the Gemara, right, it's the death over here, and you can see this by the question, that they think the problem is that because the Rabim's not listening to him. People don't care what he says. Get in the new property, and people are walking on the new property and on the old path. They're walking on the old and the new path. Let him sit there with a big stick and say, nobody goes through here anymore. I gave you an alternative. I'm going to sit here with a stick. A person can take, and there is a say though here. This guy wants to take the din into his own hand and flip him. He give him the other property. So we don't allow it in this case. Mishmei the Ravak, Zera Shemi Ten Lehem Derech HaKalton. Right, that we don't allow it in this case because there's a zera in general. We don't trust people to make an equal exchange in this instance. Right, maybe this guy did it equally and he gave him an equal path on their side. But we don't, if we empower people to exchange public property, they're not always going to do it for the benefit of the public. So in that case, we're going to say that blankets, we don't allow people to make such an exchange. Now the case here is actually not a case where he gave him equal, he actually gave him a poor option over here. Rav Ashi Amar, kol min atzad, derech hakalton. Right, that by definition, by giving them a path on the side, he's giving them a worse option. Why? Right, depends which side. Before, everybody was equidistant from the path through the middle. Now, by moving it to either side of his property, he is making it further for one of the two groups from either side, either from the east, the west. Either way, he's causing it to be a detriment to somebody, and therefore we don't allow it. Mar says, wait, if all these cases are cases where he gave them a poor option, now most of the Rishonim, Rashi doesn't, but most of the Rishonim changed the gears to here, Amai Mashinoto Natan, which is really the Gemara's question. Right, what's the question? I mean, we understand why he can't change out the middle line, the middle property, the path that goes to the middle of his property. But why, when he gives the new property, does he all of a sudden now can't take it back? I mean, he wasn't successful at doing the exchange, give him his property back. So Mar says, Lemu, Shkolo Tidchu, Vavalu Didi, you keep yours, the original thing, and give me mine back. So Mar says, Meshum de Rabbi Yehuda. That's the problem, because they have a principle of Rabbi Yehuda. Dam Rabbi Yehuda, Meitzar Shechziku Bo Rabbim, a path, right, that the Rabbim take control of, Asur LeKalkalo. The problem is, now that he gave them the other path, and they created an easement over there, means they started to walk on this property already, he has no way to reverse that. Once the Rabbim takes control over a certain area, or uses something as an easement over a property, you cannot reverse it. So the loss here is not because, technically he could take the property back, but, because the Rabbim already starts to use this new property, we say now he's lost on both accounts. He can't get the property back that he gave them because they started to use it already. He can't get the middle line, the path through the middle of his property because he was never entitled to switch it. So that's why he loses both of them over here. Right, Tashma. Balabait sheniach pe'am yitzarechad. Balabait does what he's supposed to do when he leaves the corner of his field on one side. Right? Upa'onim v'natlum yitzarecher. Then here, the side that they want to take pe'ah from the other side of his field. So that, ziv ziv pe'ah. Both of them become pe'ah. Now what's going on over here? This is a massive loss for him. He's paying pe'ah on both sides of his field because Aniyim decided to take pe'ah on one side and he gave it on the other side. Then, right here, my avid inish din and apshe. A person can take the din into his own hand. My ziv ziv pe'ah. Why should they both be pe'ah? Lim kod pa'adra v'leitim. Let him take a stick, sit over the part of the field where they're not entitled to take, and say, ow, you know, this is not my pe'ah. The pe'ah is on the other side. Go get it. Why can't he control which part of his field is considered pe'ah? So Amar Rava, my ziv ziv pe'ah. No, ziv ziv pe'ah, that means that they're both pe'ah and everybody's entitled to take from them. Ela ol potran min ha-maser. That makes them patur from the maser. Why? That kitanya, we have a brisa. A mafkir at karmo, the person who makes his term is vineyard kefkir. The ishkim baboker batro. In the morning gets up, decides to harvest the whole thing. Right there, chayav b'prat b'ololot b'shichol b'peya. He's chayav in all the other matanot aniyim because we can say we don't have it here, but the Mishnah Peya mentions that by all of these there's an extra word tazov. So in a case where it's not clear hefker, it's not a case where you totally disowned it and gave up all ownership over it, but the case here where you kind of gave up ownership and then went back and took it back. In those cases, you're going to be chayav in all these matanot aniyim. The one exception to that is maaser. Maaser only has the word tazov written once. And therefore, maaser, any type of hefker, right, is considered to be enough to patur you min a maaser. And why is that? Because it's a din by maaser. Maaser, you're not patur maaser because of hefker, you patur maaser. So it points out because it says, in the pasuk, it says that you have to leave it, right, the tazovoto, for the levi. Ubai levi, ki ein lo chelek v'nachalayim chas. Right, the levi doesn't have a portion in the land with you, therefore you must leave a maaser. If he has equal rights to this piece of property, then it's not uval levi anymore, because you both can take, you equally can access this property and take the stuff. So because of that, already becomes patur maaser. So that's the case here. When you're maaser, you're kerem, you and the levi now have equal rights to this property. If you have equal rights, then you can't be mekayem the pasuk. The levi should come, because he doesn't have any rights in the property in Israel. But now he does have rights. Therefore, you are equally sharing, and therefore you're patur min maaser. So that's the case over here. The case over here is not ziv ziv peyah, meaning that the baal bayit loses and they're both peyah. Right? That's not what's going on over here. Right? But rather, the case over here is a unique case that the peyah that he left on the other side, that now he'll take back, right? That nesheret, that is patur min maaser. Not that the aniyim now can collect peyah from the side that he left originally. They'll collect from the new place they took. He'll take back the peyah that he left on their side. So why is the price, why is the Mishnah calling it Zeb Zeb Peah? Zeb Zeb Peah means that the stuff that you left originally will become Patur Min HaMaser. Now why? Because he was Maskir then. He was, when you give Peah, it's as if you're Maskir it, and therefore he's Patur Min HaMaser. Right, the new Mishnah here. Nishbira Kado Rishut Rabim. His kad breaks in the Rishut Rabim. Behuklach Achad B'mayim. When the kad, when this pitcher breaks, it spreads liquids over the Rishut Rabim. Someone comes along and slips on the water there. Echad Mayim Ohu Shalaka B'charasit. Or he gets hurt by the shards that are left out there. Chayav. In both these instances, he is chayav. Rav Yehuda Omer, b'mitkaven chayav, b'enu mitkaven patur. Depends, right, what his intent is over here. If he intends for it to remain there or pretends for it to leave it there, then he is chayav. Enu mitkaven patur. We're going to have to explain this. We're going to have to explain this part of the Mishnah. Okay, now. What says, Amar Yehuda Omer Rav, this is Rav's position, lo shano shetinfu kelav b'mayim. The only way that you're chayav, according to Rav here, the only way you're chayav is if his clothing became dirtied or soiled by the liquid that's on the floor. Aval hu atzmo patur. But if the person becomes injured by slipping on the water over here, then he is patur, the baal of the person who tripped or the person whose kad broke here and left the liquid. There he's patur. Why? Karkol amezi kato. He was hurt by the ground. Meaning that the reason that the person got injured is not he tripped, and that's what caused him to fall, but what really caused the injury is his hitting the ground. So therefore, when, if he gets soiled by the water itself there, right, then we say that the soiling of his clothing, that's your problem. You put the water there, you're the cause of the problem. On the other hand, if he trips on the water and then hurts himself on the ground, you say, look, you hurt yourself, you tripped, you fell on the ground, that's what caused him, right, that's what caused him the problem over here, and therefore you're not chayav. So now, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Kiamrite Kamele Shmuel. They said it before Shmuel. Mifte Avno v'sakino Masao Miboro Lamanu. Right? When we learn about an Evan, a Sakin or Masao, he leaves something in the Rishut Rabim. Where do we learn it from? We learn that from Bor. What's the din of Bor? V'chulan ani korei b'hem shor v'lo Adam chamor v'lo kelim. Well, we have a principle by boar. What's the principle by boar? The only thing you're chayav for in a boar is a shor, but not a person. A chamor, and not kelim, not utensils that break there. Alright, vahani mili the inyan katala. That exclusion of shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, that's only when they get killed. If you kill a shor, you're responsible. Or if you kill adam, you are not, right? If you have a chamor that gets killed, you're responsible. Kelim, right? Then you're not responsible. But, aval the inyan nizakin, when it comes to nezek, when it comes to doing damage, Adam chayav, kelim turin. By Adam you are chayav, by kelim you're patur. Why are you patur by kelim? Because breaking of kelim is imitatan. When kelim breaks, that's equivalent to them dying. So we said before that by death, you are patur by kelim. So that the kelim remain patur. But by Adam, if he gets injured by your boar, right, then you got to pay for it. So what's the case over here? Okay, he's slipping on your liquid that you left out there. That's your boar. That's like leaving some of your objects out there. He slips and he gets hurt. You got to pay for it. Right? So now, the Gemara Rav explains, and I'll come back to explain the whole makhlokas here. Rav, hani mile heiche, heiche daf karinu. That's only in a case when it's boar, when is something considered a boar? When you're mafkir it. When you're mafkir it, then it becomes a boar, and it's a dinim of boar. Ava heiche dula karinu mamonohu. If you're not mafkir it, it becomes what? Mamon. It's still your mom. It's like shor. So shor, when a shor does damage, right? When a shor does damage, he's chayav for the damage that he does directly. But if he does something that's goreim to damage, then you're not chayav for that. If your shor goes out and knocks the guy over, and then he lands on the ground and hurts himself on the ground, you're not chayav for that. It's grumma of an Ezekiel, or it's grumma of your shor. That you're not accountable. You're accountable for the direct damage that your shor does. So it's over here. You're only chayav for the water, the damage that your liquids get over here, because that is your shor. You're mamon and reshut rabim. You're responsible for the direct damage it does. You are not responsible for the indirect damage, which is you slipping on it. The other guy, I'm sorry, the guy slipping on it and then hurting himself on the ground. That you're not chayav for. Shmuel says, no. Anytime something falls into reshut rabim, that is considered bor. And if it's bor, you're responsible for it, even if you don't own it, right? Even if it's not yours. That you're chayav for even hitting the ground. Rashi connects their machlokas to another machlokas, which is that later on in the Gemara, we're going to see that Rav and Shmuel argue about, there are actually a number of things they argue about. One of the other things they argue about is, when you fall into a bor, what are you chayav for? Why is a person, when a person falls in a bor and gets damaged, right, and something happens to them, what are you chayav for? Rav believes the reason you're chayav in bor is not for havata, not for hitting the ground, the falling into the bor, the impact of the bor, but havalo. The air, the quality of the air, the bad quality of the air, and then that causes the damage. That's what you're chayav for. Shmuel says, you're chayav for the bad quality of air, plus you're chayav for the impact on the, in the bor itself. So you see the same thing over here. Rav doesn't believe. Impact on the ground, according to Rav, is not nezek. Right, nezek is only through the hevel of bor. It's only here. The only time you're chayav for nezek in a bor is there's hevel. Over here, he's above the ground. There is no hevel over here. Shmuel, on the other hand, believes when you hit the ground, you are chayav. Rashi also connects it to another machlokas, is what the case of bor in the Torah is. What's the case of bor in the Torah? It's the case of the bor in the Torah, where a person goes out to the Shutra Rabbim and digs out the property. Or it's the case, and this is what Rashi suggests over here. I'll point out here, Tosfos, we won't go into it, but Tosfos disagrees with Rashi setting it up this way. But Rashi says over here, that Rav believes that the boar that the Torah made you chayav for is a case where he was mafkir his reshut. It's a case where he, in his own property, dug a boar, and then afterwards, right, he went and was mafkir the property and the boar in it. That's how you got a boar reshut the rabbin. You dug a boar in your private property, and then you said, listen, I'm going to be mafkir my property and the boar. That's what Rav says. That's a classic case of boar in the Torah. Where that's the, I'm case of boar that is hefkir. I'm mafkir my reshut and the boar. On the other hand, Shmuel believes, what's the classic case in the Torah? Bor. Bor is where you dig it in your own property, and then you're mafkir the property around it, but you leave the bor as your own ownership. So there you see from Shmuel believes that even when it's your own ownership, you can have something be a bor. Rav believes the only time it can be a bor is when you've disowned it. So that'll be the difference here. Rav believes what? Rav believes the only time that you're chayv and he's talking by bor is when afkarinu, and you made it hefkir. Otherwise, you're dealing with shor. And by shor, there's no grumma of an Ezekiel if you does that. On the other hand, Shmuel believes that even when you do not, right, even when you do not make it hefkir, you're still responsible because the case of boar in the Torah is even in a case where you were mafia the shus around it, but you kept the boar to be your own. That's where it says, make the reboshia. It says, nafo shama shor o chamor, that it falls in there as shor chamor. That we learn from that shor velo adam, chavor velo kelim. Mikan amru, from which we say, nafalu tocho shor v'kelav v'nishtabru. A shor falls into the boar, right, and it has some utensils on the back and they break. Chamor v'kelav, chamor falls in there along with its utensils here, it means a mat. V'nikoru, you know, mean that the saddle or something of the mat on its back tears. Chayav ala behema, you're responsible for the animal. U'patur ala kelim, and you're not responsible for the kelim. Right? How the mazet dome? What is it similar to? It's similar to a case of the where you left your materials in Rishut Rabim and they did damage. Martha says, whoa. Adarabba. What do you mean? Ma dome lezet. Me by it should be the other way around. What's written in the Torah? The case of four is what's written in the Torah. You're trying to compare a case that's written in the Torah to a case that's not written in the Torah. It should be the other way. It should be Evan, Sakin, and Masa'o compared to four, which is in the Torah. Elamai Domelezeh. Right? So that's what it means, like this. Right? Elamai Domelezeh means Avno Sakin, Masa'o, Shin, Yichan, Reshutar, Bim, Veziku. Right? What's this limit to this? They did damage. Sefikach, Imitiach, right? Zochit, the Evan, Chayav. Therefore, when he falls over, he smashes his pitcher on top of the stone that this guy left there, he is chayav. Right, so what's the case there? Ma dom lezet. So to read the part, Mishnah now is, that what's similar to a case of bor b'shut harabim? That's the case of evan, sakino, matzo that you leave out in the b'shut harabim. Right? And, b'ziko, and it did damage. The fika. Now, may I mention comes to the conclusion, if you fell, broke your utensil on the rock that the guy left out there, then you're chayav. So it says, reisha kasha the rab, b'sefa kasha the shmuel. The first half of this braisa is a problem for Rav. Why? Because the first half of the braisa says that even a case of Evan, Mato, and stuff, you know that you leave in Shuter Abim, it's equal to Bor. So here's private property being equal to Bor. That's a problem for Rav. What's the problem for Shmuel? Shmuel, the second half over here, right? The case where it's a Bor in Shuter Abim, even though you own it, guy falls over, smashes his pitcher on your Evan, and he's Chayav. Kelim are Patur and a Bor. How could you be Chayav? Right there, wait a minute. If one part is a question for Rav, one part for Shmuel, then the price itself is problematic. You have a price that's making a half of it saying Pator and half of it saying Chayah. You gotta solve the price. So Mar says, Ela Rav Matarets L'Tamei, Ushmuel Matarets L'Tamei. Each one of them will answer according to their own position. Rav Matarets L'Tamei, Rav will explain the price like this. Bamed V'Ramamurim Kishi Hif Kiran. When are you patur in the case? What's the case if you're being patur when Evan, Sakin, and Masa'o are the same as Bor? That's when you make them hefker. When you make them hefker, like Bor b'shut harabim. About Lohif Kiram, if you don't make them hefker, then you are chayav. Why? Because then it becomes like short. In b'shut harabim, if you kach itiach, lochit be'evan chayav. Guy trips and smashes his pitcher on your stuff. That's like your short doing damage. If your short is doing direct damage, you're going to pay for it. Because Kalim are not patur by short. They're only patur by Bor. Shmuel Matarets L'Tamei. Hashtada Marta Avina Sakino Matzo Kibur Otami. Right, now that you see Evan Sakino Matzo or like Bor. Oh, if they're like Bor, what does that mean? Bor means that even when you do not ask you them, even when they're your private property or Shitra Abim, they have a din of Bor. Wait a minute, if they have a din of Bor, why you chayiv on a Keli that breaks on them? Right, Keli Mapatur and Bor. He says, that's what Rabbi Huda. According to Rabbi Huda, the mechayiv on this kelim, but Bor. We have a position of Rabbi Huda who says by kelim and a Bor, you are chayav. Right? Rabbi Huda has all these unusual positions in the zakin. One of them is that by Bor, you're chayav for kelim. Lafikach itiach luchit be'evan chayav. Only according to Rabbi Huda. If the pitcher breaks on the Evan, you're chayav because that's only according to Rabbi Huda who says that kelim are chayav and Bor. Eino chanami, it's a Bor. So according to Chachamim, you'd be patur. But according to Rabbi Huda, you would be chayav. Only cases here where he trips over the stone, right? Right? And the barrel itself broke, or the stuff that happened broke on the oven itself. He trips on the oven and he breaks it on the oven. But if he trips beforehand and then he smashes it down on the stone, then he is patur. Come on. So who's this like? It's not like Rabbi Natan. Some say Amar Blas Lo Tema Benitzkal BeEvan Nishuf BeEvan. It doesn't only have to be a case where he trips on the stone and breaks on the stone. Who the Mechayev? Aval Nitzkal BeKarka Benishuf BeEvan Patur. Right? Don't say that. Don't say that when he trips on the ground and then smashes on the Evan that you're Patur. Ela Filu Nitzkal BeKarka Benishuf BeEvan and he breaks it on the stone. Chayav Kiman. That is like Rabbi Natan. Who is this Rabbi Natan? We're going to say further on that in a case of Rabbi Natan, we had this earlier in the Gemara also, a case where two Shvarim were fighting, one shore came and pushed another shore. That shore falls into the boar. Okay, you have two Shvarim that are running along, one guy's shore pushes the other guy's friend's shore into the boar. Over there, what does Rabbi Natan say? The Rabbi Natan says that the Bala boar has to make up for everything that the Bala shore does not pay. They're jointly culpable for the damage that is done. The Bala boar has got to make up for anything that was not done by the shore. So the same thing over here. Who's the Bala boar here? The guy whose Evan is out there. So the guy's Evan is out there. How did the guy smash his Bochit on the Evan? He tripped. Do we care how he got to smashing his stuff on the Evan? According to Rabbi Natan, no. Because since your board did the damage, we don't care how you got there. Just like in the case where a shore, another shore pushes the shore in there, we don't care how the shore got in there. Now he's in your board. When he's in your board, you're going to be culpable for whatever the Baal HaShor doesn't pay. So Zot over here, when he trips on the ground, who's culpable for that? Nobody. Tripping on the ground is what? Nobody owns the property. So he's Patur Legamri, so nobody can pay for that. So who's going to be culpable to make up the rest? The board. Who's the board? It's the Evan that's sitting there in the Shudder Rabin. When he smashes it down on the Evan, he's going to be responsible for it. So if you say that he's Chayav in that case, that's like Rabbi Natan. If you say Patur in that case, that is not like Rabbi Natan. Okay, we'll stop over here.